This morning, we'll take some time. If you looked in your box, you should have received a little booklet that Jordan builds for us every year. And so this morning, I want to cover what this is and then have a few things to say at the end. Before I do that, however, I want to say a couple of things about the things that have been taking place about the preaching and those been preaching since July. You're well aware that in July, the preacher at Abilene was killed in a car accident. And myself, and Jordan, and Ryan, and Boyd have been going out once a week ever since then to help that church. And so last Sunday, I was out there, and it was the last Sunday that we were going to be asked to come because the new preacher got in Saturday night, and he begins today. And he was so excited to be there, and they were excited to see them. I guess it was probably the time before I was out there, which was probably 3 weeks before, I'd begun to see life come back in their eyes. And when Michael McKnight is the new preacher, when Michael was there Sunday morning, there was a great deal of excitement about Michael and his family being there. He has three children. His mother's also going to live with them. And so he was excited to be there. This is his second work. He's 53 years old. He had moved there from Indio, California. First time to work with elders. And so they're looking forward to turning a page. It's not that Olin will ever be forgotten, nor the influence of his life's work there be forgotten. But Michael will be there to work with that church and establish a relationship with them. And Michael's family also is closely connected to the Hudson family. And so there'll be a kinship that he shares with the church and the loss of Olin. But I just want to tell you that the last several times, and I'm sure that the week before when Boyd was out there, the elders have just effusively, just overflowed with expression of appreciation of this church for us coming out there and helping them. And you know, if it had been a church that had been in need of benevolence, that had more than they could care for, we would have had an obligation to have helped them, to have sent to the elders there to send relief for them to give to those who had need. And I kind of view this in the same way. We have an abundance of talent here. Such an abundance of talent. And to have it sit on the shelf, and when brethren are hurting someplace else and not be used, I just think would have been so, so bad. And so I'm so appreciative of the elders. When this was first proposed, Holly was the one that proposed this back in July. I called a few of the elders that were in town. The others were on the trip that had taken place. And they just automatically said yes. And the ones that came back have been just so, so supportive. I appreciate the guys doing that. And this church, there's not been a single syllable that's ever been uttered in the 6 months of, when's this going to be over for you guys? I appreciate that attitude about you so much. And thank you so much. And admittedly, I have a personal investment there. Yes, I've held a lot of meetings in that church through the years. I have a personal investment there. And a part of the reason I want to do it, I'll just personally tell you if I haven't said this before, was to protect Chris, my son-in-law. Because Chris would have been one of the ones that they would have imposed upon to preach. And he was not able to. He was just not in the mind to be able to. He was the anesthesiologist that was there the night that Olin was passed away in surgery. This is his preacher, his friend, and he's there in surgery with him. And so he just would not have been able to do that. And as I also spent more time out there, the other men who would have done that, they would not have been able to do this for 6 months. It would just have been too much for them. And so I just tell you thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for loving those folks enough to support us in doing this. And to Boyd and to Ryan and Jordan, my deepest thanks for participating in this. And I heard great things about every lesson that they preached out there. One additional thing, Ryan is in Mansfield today, but the third week of January, he and Alyssa will be in Del Rio. They're going to talk to the church in Del Rio about the possibility of moving there. The church is really having a hard time right now There's only about 22 that are there. And one of their backbone members passed away about a month ago. And Ryan and Robert Parker, who's the man he's been talking with, have been talking, and both are excited about the opportunity. And so there's a need for someone there. And Ryan's excited about that, and they're excited about him coming. So we're thinking about Ryan relative to that. And yes, I have an investment in that work too. I have a dear affection for that work too. I have a dear affection for Ryan as well. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being a part of what this fellowship has been. Normally this presentation is done by Jordan, but given his world travels, I'm going to try and do the best I can with this. Let me tell you, beginning as I begin to open this up, that this work is a collaborative effort. It's not the effort of one single person. It's a collaborative effort of Jordan, myself, and the other elders in putting this together. And Ryan participated some in this time as well. Jordan is the one, however, that puts the booklet together. And he puts it in the machine, and Mary Lou runs it off and puts it in your box. And so she has a part in doing this as well. Our theme for the year coming up for 2020 is going to be, year 2020, is 2020 Vision. The reason we chose this was we've been doing things for a number of years that look inward. They look at us somehow, maybe individually or collectively. And so this year when we began to think, we wanted to do something that looked out. And we wanted to do something that looked toward God. And so the vision is the perspective of looking toward God. And this year, in 2020, we'll be doing lessons that relate to that. So it's not so much a focus on ourselves this year as it is a focus on God Himself. As you turn in the booklet, you'll come to page 3, and you'll see the opening of the first quarter, seeing God from His perspective. And we look at that. We look at January, talk about behold our God. And the point about that is, how does God describe Himself in Scripture? How do the heavenly hosts see God? How should we see Him? Then in February, we're going to do a special. We've done this for several years now, and the special through the month of February will be Psalms. And in conjunction with that, we'll be writing articles that will be posted for you, that will run throughout the month that will correspond with what we're trying to talk about, as we've done in the past. But that month will be on reading and reflecting and praying and singing through the Psalms to help show who our God is. Then in March, we focused upon this as our Father's world. Well, in this quarter, considering the thought, how does the knowledge of God affect our understanding of all things? And how does the way we see God affect the way we see the world, the way we see life, and the way we see others? Then when we come to the second quarter, it's seeing the world from God's perspective. When we think about that, we're going to see how the world sees us. What can we do to help them see Christ in us? What are their perceptions of us? Now, that is a little bit of a crossover from the previous quarter that we've just completed here in this year. But we're trying to take it from the perspective from the standpoint of seeing the world from God's perspective, not from our perspective. Then in May, we're going to have a special Sunday in May, invite a friend. We haven't done this in several years. Invite a friend. And the focus there is going to be focusing on our guests. And the idea is there, what can we do to help our guests when they come our way? You know, we come into an assembly like this, and this is all I've known. This is kind of old hat. If you're not careful, it becomes rote and routine for you. But when people who are guests that come into an assembly like this, that this is the first time they've come into an assembly like this. They've never been anything like this. They hear what we say. They see the song, observe the songs we sing and the Lord's Supper. And some of this may be new to them. Put yourself in their shoes. It's kind of like a fish out of water. Where do you fit? And what's this all about? Well, what we really want to do is we want to see these people through God's eyes, not through our eyes. And then in June, we're going to see the world through the eyes of God. And we're going to look at there through words of wisdom, seeing the world through the eyes of Solomon, through Paul, and through Jesus. Go look in the wisdom literature to see how we can observe the world through the eyes of God. And then in the third quarter, we're going to see the truth from God's perspective. That is, first of all, in July, understanding the truth. Why is truth so important? In our world today, where things seem to be relative, where there's no absolute right, no absolute wrong, where things are dumbed down, we're going to try to establish what is the truth, where is the truth found, who determines what the truth is, and why is it so important to understand God's truth? Is there an absolute truth? And then in August, we're going to talk about appreciating the truth. And the idea of that is information becomes motivation, resulting in transformation. Observation of information. Information, taking it in. Motivation and transformation. We're going to try to look at how we can ask the greatest question of all. Several years ago, and it's been several years ago, I forget even the time now, I'd have to go back and look. I did a series of lessons on the greatest question ever asked. And the greatest question ever asked is, what is wise? And that's kind of the approach we're going to take with regard to the month of August. Then in September, we're going to look at applying that truth. How can we look at this ancient text and draw application to our modern times? The only time we open the Word of God, really what we're doing is we're reading somebody else's mail. This wasn't written to us. But it's preserved for us. It is for us. But we're not the Ephesians. We're not the Colossians. We're not the Philippians, etc. But when we read what Paul wrote to those churches, what is it that he wrote to those churches that is for us? And how do we understand what he wrote is for us? What lessons do we take away from this ancient text, apply it to our modern times? Is it applicable to us today? And so what does God's truth look like in my daily life and daily living? And then in the fourth quarter, I'm going to try to, as it were, bring this home. Seeing home from God's perspective. In October, we're going to talk about singing songs of heaven. I think there's an upcoming quarter in which Jordan and Ryan, Ron, are going to have a quarter on songs. Lessons from songs. And they're already working on breaking those down. And so we're going October, we're going to have the lessons that are learned from songs. And that's really kind of a takeoff of something I did earlier in the year preparing for a lectureship I had in June down in Southside when the lectures were based upon the songs, The Lord is My Shepherd, On This Rock I Shall Stand, were a couple of those lessons. Then in November, Longing for Heaven, and the takeaway from this, the hook on this, is D's statement, D. Bowman's statement. If you miss heaven, you've missed all there is. Heaven's incredible. An incredible promise, an incredible reward for God's people. And we prepare for heaven today. We think of heaven, we sing of heaven. We live each day as though we're heaven bound. And so November will be our focus on that. And then we'll end up the year in 2020 with heaven help us. Keeping our eyes on heaven that helps us live day by day. Helps us live through the hardships and trials. Helps us in our relationships with one another. Helps us live a dedicated life to the King. If only we could see heaven as heaven is seen. You think about that. If only we could see heaven as heaven is seen by those 24 elders, by the angels, by God Himself. And look at heaven from that perspective. Now, each quarter has with it a quarterly checkup. It's that quarterly checkup, for example, back in the first quarter, seeing that God's perspective is making sure our vision is clear. Making sure we're not having a blurry vision. Making sure we don't have a distorted view of God, a clouded view of Scripture, or an untrue view of ourselves, or a biased, a judgmental view of others. What we're going to try to do is sharpen our image there. Then the second part is the blind spots. If we're seeing the world from God's perspective, what are the blind spots? Our eyes are on the temporary, are blind to the eternal. Able to understand the Scripture, but are blind to personal application. Able to see strengths but blind to weaknesses. Eyes focused on me, blind to others. What are our blind spots? And are we praying for open eyes? And are we seeing clearly and fully? And then the third quarter, which is seeing truth from God's perspective, is making sure our vision is balanced. And that is, can we read what's in front with ease yet still being seen things that are a distance with clarity? Can we see things in front of us as well as see things that are a distance as well? Are we farsighted? Are we nearsighted? Can we see signs and people far away? Do we struggle to see what's right before us? And so we're trying to check the vision, focused on the past while neglecting the present, focused on uncertain future, worry, plaguing the present, and focused on troubles of today, giving no thought of heaven tomorrow, having a right view, a right perspective of the world. You know, past has value, but the past is only to teach us something. It's not to weigh us down. We don't live our lives in the past. We live our lives in the present, looking to a future. In fact, the Bible is written heavenward. They were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, it states in Hebrews chapter 11. They were looking somewhere else. They weren't looking in this world. The eyes weren't on this world. So we need to make sure our vision is balanced in this world. And then finally, in the fourth quarter, to sharpen our vision, to sharpen the way we look, continue to examine ourselves a regular checkup, to weigh our vision against the standard of God's Word. What's the basis on which we're operating in life? What's the premise, the basis, the foundation on which we're operating as a local church? What's the premise of the foundation that makes up my mind for all the decisions I make in life? Is church just kind of a compartmental thing? Do we have the pie, and it's just we cut a piece of the pie out, and that's just one piece of the pie? And when I'm done eating that, I'm done with it? No, this affects 90% or more of our lives is on an individual basis. You think about that. Only about 10% of our lives is filled with what we do collectively. But 90% of our lives is done on an individual basis. Then what does this word mean to me? How can this word help me? And that's the point. I want to prayerfully ask God to help us see clearly through the eyes of God. And then we come to a calendar of events. Now, I want you, if you don't have your book with you, when you get it, I want you to go to page 11. I want you to get your yellow highlighter out. And if you have it open when you get home, I want you to get your pink highlighter out. You get rewarded, you have pink. If you don't have it, you have yellow. If you have it, you have pink. Truth of the matter is, I don't care what color you use. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to highlight page 11, that number, page 11. And here's why. Page 11 tells all of you who call me through the year to ask me, when's our next meeting? It's right there. Now, I don't mind you calling me, but when you call, I'm going to say, have you read page 11? I understand we forget. I understand we misplace things. But page 11 is where you want to understand what's happening in this church throughout 2020. It will tell you the series of events. For example, the first thing we have coming up in a couple of weeks, January 17th, 18th, and 19th is our blast. I'll say more about that when I get to that page. In February, we're going to have our special. Gerald and Matt and Ross are planning a teacher seminar for February the 9th. If you remember several years ago, I forget how long it was now, that I put together that thing with Kevin Shurtleff, Kay, Jody, and Risa. We put together that seminar, and we have one Saturday where we came together as men and women, then we broke out the women with women and men with men. And we have some new faces that have come into our assembly here, our fellowship. And so we asked them to teach our classes, and our classes are unique to us. And the material we ask them to teach is unique to us because the uniqueness is we develop it ourselves. And that can be challenging to people. And so what we're trying to do is give a tool, an education, information to help those who are new to us and also refresh those who are older who've been involved in the teaching program for a while of why we do what we do here. And so that's kind of what Matt and Ross and Gerald have in mind with regard to that. And then our spring meeting, April 5th through the 8th, is going to be with Ralph Walker. And then the invite a friend that I spoke of a moment ago is going to be on May the 10th. And then our summer gospel meeting is going to be June 19th to 21st with Ryan Boyer. I think he's from St. Louis. Real good friends with Nathan. And then our VBS will be July 27th through 31st. Boyd has our annual singing for the 14th. We're going to do the Legacy Weekend again. We're going to entitle it something different this year, but keeping the general idea of legacy, and I'll touch more on that in just a moment. And then our Fall Gospel Meeting, we tried to invite somebody else, but nobody else would come, so we asked Russ Bowman to come back. No, really, we asked Russ to come back before he left last time. He does such a good job. Now, one thing I skipped is in May 17th, Ronald Stringer, and also November 1st, Byron Gage. Ronald Stringer, we helped support in Sherman. And Byron Gage, we helped support in Granbury. And so we're going to stay with what we did, that have done in 2019, and bringing men in we support. Let them spend the Sunday with us, preaching for us the two times. And so Ronald Stringer will be here in May, and Byron Gage will be here in July. Now you come to the next page, on page 12. I want to talk about the BLAST. In case you're new, let me explain what BLAST means. It's an acronym. Building Lives Around Sound Truths. So when we developed that, we tried to find something that would have a hook to it, that would have something that would catch the attention of people for what we're trying to do. But building lives around sound truth is what that really means. And so this weekend, we're going to devote that to set your minds on things above. Again, our focus is somewhere else, right? We're trying to keep our focus off of us here. Focus on above. And when we think about that, on Friday we're going to come together, and Reagan McClinney is going to speak to us on Friday on minds focused on things above. And then Saturday at 1 o'clock, we're going to come here together, all together here for 30 minutes. And Reagan will speak again on minds focused on the future. And then we'll do our breakout sessions. And myself, Jordan, Reagan and Ryan will be Ryan King will be working with me, are going to be teaching the classes, one on purity, one on contentment, one on peace. And our students will rotate through those classes like they've done the last several years. But Larry McClinney is going to be here, and he'll talk to the parents about helping our kids focus their minds on purity, contentment, peace. So while we're working with the young people from age fourth and fifth grade through high school, while we're working with those young people, Larry's going to be teaching the classes, helping the parents to help our young people accomplish those things. So we're trying to get a shot at this from two different directions. Number one, our teaching. Number two, the parents then reinforcing that with some of these things. Reagan is early 30s, I think, preaches at Lufkin. And also, Larry is now preaching at Rice Road in Tyler. Larry was a superintendent for over 20-plus years up in the Panhandle. Larry preached before he became a superintendent. He taught school, then became a principal, then superintendent. Larry is very, very able to communicate what I'm saying, and has a good understanding of the world and how this will help our young people in the world. He's worked with young people. That's why I'm trying to get you to see. He's been involved in education with young people. He's been involved in working with them, and he can help us as parents as well. And then Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to have singing, and our young people in the last high school devotion, which was 2 weeks ago, our young high school kids met, and they put together the whole program for Saturday, for Friday singing and for Saturday. They put together the whole program for the songs and for the scriptures and for who's going to make the talk. And so Friday evening singing is arranged by them. Also Saturday evening singing is arranged by them as well. And then on Sunday, Jordan will speak the first period focused on putting on. And Reagan will conclude with minds focused on the Lord. Larry will not be here that Sunday. He has to go back after Saturday. And then we're going to come to our Legacy Weekend. We call that Legacy because our older people are leaving a legacy. And we're very mindful of that. And I'm going to talk some more about that in just a moment. But we're talking about what kind of legacy do we leave? What kind of footprint do we leave in this world when we're no longer here? What's the legacy that our young people are going to leave? Pardon me. If I think back through the years of my time with this church, I think back to the people who've passed, who were once members here and now have passed from this life. I think about the legacy they've left in our lives. And not just men, I'm thinking about women too. I think about Jan Whitten. I think about the legacy that Jan left. You don't know the legacy Jan left? Do you see that young man leading singing? There's another young man, a young woman, that's just moved to this area by the name of Hale as well. And there's another young man sitting back there by that name that's her grandson. That's legacy. And you know what? people still talk about Jan and her influence. And one of the things they always talk about are her hats. You ladies remember that? That were here? Several of you weren't here when Gail Beaver was alive. We had no better student of the Old Testament in this church when Gail Beaver was alive than Gail Beaver. And a great song leader. His only problem was he had that eyebrow that kept jumping up and down on you. Right, Linda? And he wouldn't use this thing that you punch a button on or blow on. He had a tuning fork. Only man I ever saw use a tuning fork. And every time he'd lead singing, I remember the old building, on the songboard, there'd be 10 or 11 songs that were there. Gail was going to make sure we sang. I remember him. Remember Bill Edwards? The man who died too young. One thing I remember about Bill, though, is his steadfastness and his generosity with people. Bill was a man who God had blessed financially in a lot of ways, and he shared it with people. More than that, he shared his life with people. Those are just some people. It's easy to talk about Daryl. I'd go on all day long about that. But those other people made a league of legacy as well. You see, we're leaving a legacy. What's it going to be? That's why we call it this. We pay attention to our young people on the front end of the year. Toward the end of the year, we pay attention to our older people. One thing I've heard, kind of murmuring, I'll just use that word, is that this church only pays attention to young people, doesn't pay attention to old people. Well, folks, we're trying to pay attention to the old people. We're trying to pay attention to the older people. We're trying to let our older people know that we value you just as much as we value the younger people. You have a place here just like our younger people have a place here. That's valuable for us. We want you here. And we don't want to leave the impression at all that you are being neglected. We want to provide something for you too. Now, let me say something, and I know this will not be remembered. Let me say it this way. I know this will not be remembered, but I will try my best to remind you. The blast on Friday night and Saturday evening is not just for young people. It would help these young people, older people, if you would come. And parents, you don't have children that are from the fourth grade to high school, if Friday evening and Saturday evening you came, it would give your young people something to look forward to, and you would help the young people that are here. But young people, when we have the Legacy Weekend, if you're here that weekend, it will help our young people know, our older people know, you're paying attention to them. Let me tell you what's characteristically happened. When we have the blast, only the young people come. We have the legacy, only the older people come. And both are missing out on something significant here. I'm not trying to browbeat you here. I'm just trying to encourage you. There's something for you to take away. Even if this is not your age bracket here. You're missing something powerful. And one of the most powerful things you're missing is to tell the people who are being emphasized there that you are for them and with them and want to support them. That's valuable, folks. So I would encourage you to think about that this next year and try to plan on being a participant in all of this. And so this year we're going to talk about the seasons of life. The lessons will aim to help encourage, strengthen, and motivate our senior saints as they go through the seasons of life and hopefully make it an uplifting weekend. This last year was our first time, and Dee and Paul just knocked it out of the park. They did a great job for us. And so this year we're going to try to follow that up again. And then we had this plan for the year on page 13 and page 14. I'm going to let you take the time to read that for yourself. But these are some objectives we try to have throughout the year that we're trying to look for. For example, there's 2% numerical growth. Rick is going to have some things in a few weeks to share with us on this. But we have excelled that since 2015. We have excelled the growth of 2.2%. And that's valuable for us. One thing I would emphasize, however, here is build strong relationships with junior high and high school students. I think it's important that we who are older not lose connection with those who are younger. That will lead us to say that this church is only paying attention to young people. But if I've got a connection with young people and they've got a connection with older people, then what we're doing is we're building a group of people together. I think that's important for us. We're trying to strengthen and encourage one another. We're not trying to leave anybody behind. We're trying to bring everybody along together. And then there are going to be several opportunities for us to have that are here throughout the year that are going to be available for you to participate in. That's the last that I have a PowerPoint on, but if you turn to page 15, if you don't, I'm just going to talk to you about it. Page 15 covers the groups. We have 8 different groups in this church. Somebody asked me, and I get this question often to people who visit, how do you get to know 400 people? Through the groups. We have 8 different groups. And the objective in having those groups is to have a smaller unit of people getting together that have time to spend together in a social way and a way of devotion as well. An opportunity to get to know each other, to talk, to learn history about each other, to learn where each other comes from, learn something about each other's background, to learn about what's going on in somebody's life. Those groups have value to that. There's an old adage that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Or 80% of the giving is done by 20% of people. You know, it's sad that if that is descriptive of God's people, that 80% of the work in groups is done by 20% of the people. Maybe you're not the most social bug. So maybe you're not the socialite. You don't have to be. But you can be there and you can visit with people and you can talk to people, get to know people. And the objective for our newer members, and this is just a plug to our group leaders here and to help the Go Deacons, is these new members are to be invited to every single group until they've made it through all 8 groups. And so group leaders, if you're not inviting the new members to your group, then you're lagging on one particular thing. When we announce these new members and you have a group meeting, it'll be your responsibility as a group leader to go to that person and say, listen, we're having a group meeting and you're invited to it. We want you to come and this is when we're having it. Because those new members ought to be enfolded by going through every single group. I can't emphasize the importance of this enough. And again, for new people, it's the way that you get to know the people in this church. We can have our parking lot pleasantries, our vestibule handshakes. And we got a big vestibule out here. It's very accommodative for us. And people take advantage of it a lot. And people like to stay in here and visit a lot. That's great. But what we do is we get in our pockets. I'm guilty. We get in our pockets. But the groups take us out of our pocket. And they help us touch. here's the important word. They help us touch one another. And so I want to encourage you coming into 2020. If you've not been as actively involved in your groups and group meetings in 2019 as you could have been, refocus. But don't focus from the standpoint of looking at us and yourself. Do it from the standpoint of looking at God and seeing God through others and looking at Him that way. Maybe that will help. Let me say this about the group leaders. They do a great job. You have some great men who are helping do this. And Kevin and Ron and Boyd help do all this. Do a great work in trying to help keep us all active with one another and help us understand the needs of each other and the visitors that we have. And so it's very important that we stay that connected with each other. If we want to have a small church feeling in a large group of people, it's because we stay connected to each other. I'm easy to get to know. My face is before you every week. But not everybody's face is up here every week. And so we make sure that when we have new people, that we make sure we welcome them and make sure they have a place for us. And don't take for granted, because we've been here and we have our place, you know, our place, our pew, right? Don't mess with the third pew on the left side over here. That is Ricky's pew. It's got a plate right there. Don't mess with Ricky's pew. If you want it, you can have it. I'll sit somewhere else. But we have our place, right? Don't mess with Breck's pew. He'll have to sit somewhere else. He'll be lost. He can't worship without me. No. Take the pew. We all get set in our place. Get to know each other and visit. And so that's kind of the layout of what we have here with regard to what Jordan has put together. The Bible classes are listed there for the coming year as well. We put this together for a reason. It's to try to build a cohesive unit among ourselves of sharing of information so we know together what's going on. Now, you're going to get this in your box today. Please make sure that by the end of January it's not in the trash. Make sure it's still available somewhere for you. Stick it in your kitchen drawer, stick it on your refrigerator, whatever you do. Make it a useful tool. If you're not going to use it, then we're wasting effort, we're wasting paper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is to share information about us and what's going on with us. And so please look at it. 2020 vision, looking at 2020. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to this. I'm reminded of Paul as I close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, the word of God has gone out from you. And I hope this last year, because of what we've done in taking the gospel to other places, Abilene like that, the word of God has gone out from this church. Jody and I love you and appreciate you so much. You're such an encouragement to us, have been for all the years, and we don't take that for granted. We thank God for every one of you. This time we have a prayer and then one verse of a song, Jackson.